This is 2 October 2008, and I'm continuing the interview with Maury Adamson. Maury, you told me that you have listened to the copies of the recordings of the last session. Are there any matters that you would like to expand on, correct, or add?
A couple of corrections I'd like to make. I believe that I said that the Canberra High School was opened in 1993. It should have been 1939. It's a simple mistake. I also suggested that the project that I was handling on behalf of the National Capital Development Commission as project manager was the Parliamentary Library. In fact, it was the National Library project, the contract for which was let in May of 1964. And I just wanted to explain that the Public Works Committee Act has a provision in it which requires the Commonwealth to refer to the committee works in excess of the value of $750,000. That figure was as at 1972. Prior to that, the figure had been $250,000, and that was changed by an amendment to the Act, I believe, in 1967. The other matter that I spoke about was the Top Springs to Catherine Road, Beef Road in the Northern Territory. In fact, it was the Top Springs to Wave Hill, which was a road which almost got to the West Australian border. But I'd like also to talk later about the procedure which committees followed in setting up their work when reference was made to them in the House of Representatives.
Good. Well, perhaps we might start with just that point, because I'd like to now work chronologically through the committees that you worked with, and perhaps beginning with the Public Works Committee, you could explain what did such inquiries that were referred to the committee get set up, and what happened? What were the procedural steps involved that you were involved in?
Well, the procedure required the minister to have a motion passed in the House of Representatives requiring the committee to inquire into and report on a reference. The requirement was that for, as I've said, for works in the 1972 period, for works valued in excess of $750,000 to be referred to the committee for inquiry and report. When the motion was carried in the House, the procedure then on the part of the Secretariat was to place an advertisement in the local press where the work was located, inviting comment by interested people who might want to give evidence to the committee. But prior to that, of course, both the Department of Works and the client department, if it was Postmaster General's or Civil Aviation, would have prepared submissions to the committee, which on the part of the client explain why the work was required, how it was to be financed, and on the part of the Department of Works, it would be a brief on the construction method and all the implications of that in terms of land availability and all that sort of thing. When the committee would set a date for the closing of public submissions, and when that had occurred, the committee would know approximately how long the inquiry would take in terms of the public hearings. And if the public hearing was in, say, in Sydney, we'd make arrangements for an accommodation there to hold the public hearings. From that point on, the committee would then meet. We'd make a program, sort out a program for the the witnesses to be heard, we would start, the first witness would be the representative of the client department, and then the Department of Works, engineers or architects, as the case may be, would present their evidence, and we would take evidence from the other interested parties. That might take a day, 2 days or 3 days, depending on the nature of the inquiry. We would then come back to a private meeting of the committee to discuss the evidence which had been taken, and of course in collecting the evidence, Hansard would be at the table to record all of the evidence, including the submissions from the client department and the Department of Works and from any other interested people. Of course, it meant that not only when the committee travelled to hold the hearings, they were accompanied by Hansard people who would be, they would make a tape of it, but generally would be two or three Hansard reporters there to assist in recording the proceedings. The committee would, after the hearings and after they'd considered the Hansard reports of the evidence, they would then sit down and discuss their conclusions on the particular matter. If they needed further evidence, then we would hold a further public hearing or public hearings as required. But once the committee was satisfied with the evidence that had been taken and had reached the conclusion, it would then be up to the staff of the committee to prepare a draft report. That might take whatever time was required, depending on the complexity of the inquiry.
You mentioned staff of the committee. A staff of one, yourself?
Initially it was a staff of one. Probably through the latter 60s, I had a so-called research officer attached to me. We made a case to the Public Service Board for the creation of the position. Prior to that, we were able to, with the help of the Department of the House of Representatives Department, they loaned a staff member at particularly busy times. I remember in particular Don Piper was loaned to the committee as a research officer while we were getting on prior to 1966 with the very large works involved in the creation of the Tullamarine Airport in Melbourne and the downgrading of Essendon, of course, and the building of the International Terminal in Sydney. There was a lot of work involved in both of those projects, and I needed all the help that I could get.
Taking it back one step, you mentioned the referrals came from the House of Representatives. Were there ever any referrals from the Senate? Or does the Senate not play a role in?
No, as I recall it, the Act required the referral to come initially from the House of Representatives. If the Minister for Works wasn't a member, then a representative of his would carry out the formal work involved.
Through the House of Representatives?
Through the House of Representatives, yeah. Yes.
Can you describe your own role in the normal committee work with the Public Works? What was your role?
Well, I kept the minutes of private meetings, just handwritten, and generally there was not much difficulty about that. With the more complex matters that just took a little bit more time, but that was the easiest way to go. So far as the public hearings are concerned, of course, it was all virtually recorded there, and it was in Hansard's record.
Did the Hansard staff work to you? Were they responsible to you for the production of transcripts of the
Yes, they
evidence?
were, and they were very, very good. I worked very well with Hansard, and they were most obliging. They travelled extensively with us. If we were on the, say, in the Northern Territory on a beef road, there was absolutely no problem about them. In fact, I think they rather had a contest about who was coming.
What sort of technology did they use for the recordings in those days?
Well, they'd use a tape, but they'd also take Hansard shorthand notes to support that. We couldn't have, in isolated places, of course, it was impossible to get the sort of support that you get actually in the house itself. Generally, we would be accompanied by two Hansard reporters, and that was generally fairly sufficient.
And how long would it take you've taken evidence one afternoon, when would they have, the committee members have transcripts of that sort they can consider?
In 36 to 48 hours. They were very good.
Hmm.
They needed to be in Canberra, of course, to be able to do that. If they weren't in Canberra, they would need to then travel back to Canberra and then sit down and do what they had to do. But once they did that, depending on the length of the evidence, the complexity of it, it would generally be between a day or two. But in most cases, if the committee wanted to consider its conclusions, it would proceed without the evidence, without the Hansard report. But if we needed to refer to it, we would do that concurrently with the draft report.
So did you, to assist the committee with its deliberations, say after they've taken evidence, while they're considering what view to take, did you have notes as well that you could sort of refresh the committee's minds about the nature of the evidence that they had heard?
Oh, yes, I would, yes. Just handwritten notes. But I generally liaise with the chairman at the time. We'd talk about contentious matters and discuss, what conclusions the committee might come to and what help they might need in reaching those conclusions.
Mm. Would you describe yourself as a very active committee secretary, or one who was fairly more sit back and take a more reserved role?
Well, I didn't have any option. There was only one of me, generally, and in that role, you had to take a very positive attitude.
Mm.
I regarded it as a, in effect, a project which had to be handled from beginning to end, and by and large, my role, I found personally satisfying, and I think it probably suited the committee too.
Mm. With the Public Works Committee, how many inquiries would they say deal with in an average year?
There was no average year, Eddie. The first year that I was associated with the committee, I think that the count was three or four, maybe five. It rather depended on the level of expenditure that needed to would cause a matter to be referred to the committee in the first place, also the complexity of it, and also the geographical location of it. If it needed an inspection, say of a beef road, then that might take a day or two. In the Northern Territory, we were able to have access to the RAAF VIP aircraft, which is a DC-3. If we needed an inspection on the ground, then the Northern Territory Administration would turn on vehicular access. Rather depended on the nature of the job, but that might take a day or two. To answer your first question, the extreme was in 1972, when we tabled 35 reports. rather exceptional year, some of them quite simple, one or two of them quite complicated, such as the Black Mountain Tower here in Canberra.
Hmm. Yes, there's obviously a large number of inquiries you dealt with in those 8 years you were with the Public Works Committee. Can you mention any that stand out as either particularly challenging or interesting from your perspective as well?
Well, very early in my early years, the airport work at Sydney and Tullamarine provided a challenge, but at the same time they were very interesting. I was fairly new in the job at that time, and there was a lot of money involved, but particularly with Tullamarine, there were town planning measures which needed to be considered, and as I recall, the local governments were interested in what was going to happen at Tullamarine, and not only at Tullamarine itself, but around Tullamarine, whether there'd be housing there and that sort of thing, and what the airlines themselves would be establishing there, quite apart from the need to use the terminal and the runways. They needed to set up maintenance facilities and that sort of thing.
Then it's a complex inquiry like that. Would the committee be expanded to deal with those sort of inquiries, to perhaps deal with people, add members who were perhaps a bit more knowledgeable in the field, or get experts as advisors to the committee?
No, the committee is generally able to handle the administration of it. As if it became complex, then they would seek further advice from knowledgeable people. The committee itself was not expanded. They occasionally used a subcommittee, on the other hand, to deal with perhaps simple matters or the continuation of an inquiry which had reached a point where it needed the committee's presence but not their academic presence, as it were.
An inquiry like the one about the Tullamarine, for example, how long would that have taken?
Well, that would have taken from beginning to end. It would have been 3 to 4 months, I suppose. That was exceptional because it was a completely new project on a completely new piece of ground. And that meant, of course, that Essendon was no longer the main airport for Melbourne at that time. And that rather depended on the nature of the project, where it was, and how many local people were involved in the matter. If it was contentious, like the Black Mountain Tower, then that only took 2 months, as I recall it. But that was fairly exceptional. It depended where it was, of course, out of Canberra. But it may have meant a bit more effort on the part of the committee and the staff, getting it going and getting the right people to give evidence.
When you refer to staff, you're still referring to yourself.
Oh yes, well we borrowed staff from time to time, and later on I had some help. Yes.
Mm. How many meetings would the committee have had on, for example, on Tullamarine? I mean, all up in a 3-4 month period.
Well, taking evidence, probably that would run over a month, perhaps. I mean, we designed the attack on the project to get the evidence out of the way when it was possible to do so, so we didn't want to have repeat visits to Tullamarine or repeat public hearings. We'd like to get it all tidied up, and then if we needed further advice, written advice, say from the Department of Civil Aviation or supplementary evidence from the Department of Works, then that would be handled at that time. But we'd endeavour to get the public hearing part of it, the presentation from the client and the department and the private submissions out of the way, and then deal with the conclusions from that point. And if that meant a further public hearing with the perhaps with civil aviation, then that's what would happen then.
When you mentioned, said, 1 month roughly for the sort of the intense part taking evidence, how often did you meet? Every day, every working hour of the week?
Oh, no. It depended on whether the House was sitting. I'd endeavour to, if we had a matter that we needed to deal with, I would endeavour to get the meeting of the committee over on Tuesday morning, because Tuesday mornings were free, party meetings, that sort of thing. But Wednesdays were generally taken up with either matters in sittings of the House, as was Thursday. But Tuesday presented a good opportunity. If it was a contentious matter, I'd endeavour to get the committee here on the Monday to, or on the Friday, to when the House wasn't sitting, to deal with those matters then.
You mentioned last time that the committees where they did their most of the intense work, in particular the inspections and perhaps inquiry, hearing evidence during the non-sitting weeks and during the parliamentary breaks.
That's right. We occasionally did if it was a fairly simple, not very many simple matters, if it was a relatively simple matter, then we might use the Friday, leave here on Friday morning, say go to Sydney or Melbourne to inspect something or perhaps take some supplementary evidence. We used beginning and ends of sitting weeks in that way. Could never do that to Western Australia or the Northern Territory, of course. Or the more complicated ones, we just set aside a longer time. Never quite a week, but yes.
The more complicated ones.
Yeah.
Can you mention some?
Well, a more complicated one might have been the establishment of the naval depot on Garden Island off Fremantle. That took a little bit of time, partly because it was in Western Australia for a start, and as I recall it, the local government people were interested in maintaining Garden Island as accessible to the public. So there were views expressed on that sort of thing. A project like the Catherine to Borroloola Beef Road, where you needed to be in the Northern Territory, you needed to travel on part of the road to see what it was like. But Northern Territory, of course, it necessitated a day each way travel, so that expanded the time you needed to set aside for it to be handled.
There must have been times when the people giving evidence to the committee would have got a bit hot under the collar when they presented evidence, or the committee might have taken, not offence, but at least had some views on what was said. Can you recall any such inquiries?
It was fairly rare for that to happen. I think the committee were fairly calm about these sorts of things. They allowed people to express their views without provoking them, and it was a pretty rare occurrence for that to happen.
So that were all the members of the committee of the same ilk, or were there some that perhaps stood out more and were more individuals that you will remember for a long time because of the personality or otherwise?
Yes, on the Sydney Airport proposal, particularly the extension of the runway and partly in relation to the building of the international airport, Len Bosman, who was the member for St George, took a very close interest in the matter, and he as I recall, did some fairly extensive questioning, but in a calm way. I've met him since then, and yeah, since those days. It was that they were in a public hearing, in effect a fact-finding mission.
That's an interesting point, particularly inquiry missioner, because aircraft noise and anything to do with expansion of airports these days is a major issue. Was it the same in those days?
The present situation is not new. It was always a question of aircraft noise, and particularly the extension of the main runway at Sydney into Botany Bay. That came quite a bit later, yes.
You have mentioned the Black Mountain Tower inquiry on a number of occasions. Could you walk us through that? That was a rather controversial one, certainly in the Canberra environment.
Yes, well, of course, the Green lobby lobbied extensively against remaining permanently on Black Mountain. You'll recall that at the time there were two television towers there, temporary ones, which were not very elegant. As a matter of, there was also a facility on Red Hill, which was associated with the proposal to get rid of those two towers on Black Mountain as well. To me, there didn't seem to be much argument against the proposal, because the facility on Black Mountain in those days was guaranteed to provide the transmission facilities, telephone and television, for a long, long time. There was no other site which was equally suitable. The Green lobby lobbied very hard, and also the National Capital Development Commission also was against it, because it rather spoilt the Walter Burley Griffin vision of Canberra, with the hills enfolding the city. From my point of view, I was at odds with some of my former colleagues in the National Capital Development Commission, but I think they quietened down later on. It was a complex issue, and but because of the technical results that would come from it, it didn't really seem to be any other option of handling the transmission problems that would follow from the demolition of the two towers that were already there, the two temporary towers.
There must have been quite a number of submissions made to that committee. You mentioned the Greens. Can you recall anything about the way the evidence went, the presentation, and how the committee reacted to what it was being told?
No, I can't really remember, but no, it was a complex issue. It was needed to be dealt with in quite a hurry, because it was referred to the committee, as I recall, very early, about May of 1972. We got the report, in May of 72. The report was quite a complex report, because of the nature of what was going on there. And the report was tabled in July. So it was just a matter of 2 months.
How many meetings would you have had in that period of time? There must have been a very intense period for you as well.
Well, my guess is that I really need to look at the minute book, but my guess is that we would have had half a dozen meetings of one sort or another to deal with the matter. I don't have any immediate recall of the number of occasions that we took evidence, but just looking at the list of witnesses, it would have to have been 2, 3, 4, perhaps 4 days. Not all full time, perhaps, but nonetheless, it would have been of that order.
And this was also in the year when you had 35 inquiries.
Yes, right.
The committee focus on this one, given the intensity on that particular one, and also the high public profile it had? Did it concentrate on that one specifically for those couple of months, and then come back to the others later, or was I trying to run a large number of inquiries in parallel?
Well, the first report table that year was a hangover from the year before. In fact, there were five inquiries on which we reported early in the year, which were a carryover from the year before. But the remaining 30 would have been dealt with fairly shortly. Some of them would have been dealt with by a subcommittee, I guess, just without having the records to check on. But they would have been dealt with fairly shortly. A visit to Sydney might have dealt with 2 or 3 in the 1 week. That was pretty rare, I've got to say. It's remembering that in some 8 years before, when I first joined the committee, we were very busy just dealing with 5 matters.
Must have got some extra assistance to deal with in a year like 72. You can't have been involved with all 35 inquiries.
I don't know. The report on the communications tower, the Black Mountain Tower, I think we had, we borrowed some staff from Postmaster General's Department to write the part of the report which described the work that was needed and the technical involvement in technical aspects of the inquiry, and we would have our own staff would have just adjusted that to cope with what the committee would want to say.
Your own staff, how many people were assisting, or were you had with you?
We had 2 at that stage.
So there was you and one other?
No, there were
2 others.
They mean 2 others, yes. Oh. But my recollection is that we borrowed staff from the post office to do the essential drafting, describing what the project was and how it would work.
The final drafts of the reports, were they your responsibility, were they?
Oh yes.
So the two people you had working with you and any others from PM, Postmaster General, for example, they would submit drafts to you and you would then rework them and check clear them with the chairman before they would take them.
Oh yes, I'd probably work with the staff when they were drafting to avoid unnecessary subsequent work.
What was your relationship like with the chairman and in during that sort of period when you're writing up a draft and the committee, you're finalising the committee's effective report?
I was blessed with the chairman that I had. The chairman at that time was Bert Kelly, member for Wakefield, South Australia, and well known in political circles. He and I got on famously, and I never had any problems with any personal problems with him, or work problems. I think he was very sympathetic for the pace at which we were required to move, particularly in 1972. He was most cooperative and he would make his time available almost at any time of the day or night as it was. He was excellent to work with, and on the committee at that particular time we had some very, very good members and senators, by and large, they are fairly cooperative. And I do remember that in 1972, for one reason or another, there was one or two changes in the membership of the committee, but that didn't detract from the way the committee wanted to work in the first place, and where they wanted to work and when. They were very cooperative.
All of those 8 years that you were with Public Work, did its method of working, how, and its approach to the work, did it change at all, or was it the same under different chairmen over that period of time?
I think I coached them well. No, I didn't really have any problem at all. Committee members weren't always available when required, but the committee was able to work without a full quota of members. There were times when we might be reduced, and 9 members might be reduced to, say, 7 or 6, but I think 5, I forget for the moment what a quota, what a quorum was, but no, we really rarely had any difficulty in getting members to attend once we'd decided on the time.
So you trained them well?
You might say. Well, no, it's a matter of